Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Dr. Anne Blake Tracy as my special expert guest. Anne Blake Tracy holds a PhD in health sciences and serves as the executive director of the International Coalition for Drug Awareness. She has specialized since 1990 in adverse reactions to serotonergic medications as well as painkillers, and has testified before the FDA and Congressional Subcommittee members on antidepressants. Since 1992, Anne has testified as an expert witness in Prozac and other SSRI-related court cases around the world. Some of the more high-profile cases she has worked on would be the murder-suicide of comedian Phil Hartman and his wife, Brian, the Columbine and Red Lake school shootings, Andrea Yate, the Texas mother who drowned her five children, the Atlanta Day trader, Princess Di's death, the murder-suicide of the royal family of Nepal, and Anna Nicole Smith's son Daniel's death. Her first book on the issue was published in 1991. Her latest book on the Prozac family of antidepressants, Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora, Our Serotonin Nightmare, is the product of many, many years of intensive research and the cases of approximately 1,000 patients on a long-term basis are looked at in great detail. Dr. Tracy has appeared on or consulted for television presentations for Fox News, Court TV, The History Channel, CNN, PBS programs, Dateline in 2020, The Geraldo Show, The Lisa Gibbons Show, The Montel Williams Show, The Maury Povich Show, and numerous local news programs. Dr. Tracy has also appeared in several film documentaries, including The Drugging of Our Children, Prescription Suicide, and The Marketing of Madness. Good morning, Dr. Tracy. Welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, and thank you.
It's wonderful to have you on the line, and we greatly appreciate your time. First, can you tell us more about the International Coalition for Drug Awareness?
A lot of people are not aware that here in America, the third leading cause of death is properly prescribed prescription drugs. So that is taken as through the FDA guidelines. So as long as you're following FDA guidelines, you're still using a substance that could cause you to die from the third leading cause of death. We lose about 20,000 people a year to illegal drugs, but we lose 200,000 a year to properly prescribed prescription drugs, and that comes from a study done by pharmacists. The whole idea of the International Coalition for Drug Awareness is to fill that gap in time that goes from the drug approval to the drug removal. In the meantime, you're basically being used as a guinea pig because we really don't know what these drugs do when they're introduced to the market. And it takes people using them for a few years to find out. The Fen-Phen and Redux fiasco is a perfect example. But when you look at those figures, you realize that every week in America, we suffer as many deaths as we did at the 9/11 tragedy. So thanks to the pharmaceutical firms and the FDA not paying enough attention to what's going on with the dangers of various drugs, we're suffering from terrorists, the pharmaceutical terrorists, another 9/11 every week in this country. Where's the war against them?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Now, the international implies that this coalition is truly global. Do you have other cohorts and people working with you in other countries that are also concerned about this issue, or is this just something that's going on in America?
Oh, no, it's worldwide. And we've got school shootings worldwide now. We've got these mass shootings worldwide, and they're generally all associated with antidepressants. If you go to our database that's located at ssristories.com, so that's S as in Sam, S as in Sam, R-I, stories.com, you'll see a database of close to 5,000 cases all related to antidepressants. There's many there that people will recognize that had no idea that the drugs were involved.
So you've spent a lot of time researching SSRI drugs, in particular Prozac. And what did you discover? Is this a legitimate substance for anybody with a certain condition in mind? Or is it something that you yourself think is something that all people under all conditions should avoid?
They definitely should be avoided. When you read enough research, you realize that these drugs are the closest thing we've ever seen to PCP, angel dust. They're very similar to LSD, but most closely associated with PCP. That drug was on the market for 7 years, marketed by Park Davis Pharmaceutical, and we were led to believe that it had a large margin of safety in humans. It was a dissociative anesthetic. You find me a police officer anywhere on the planet that wants to run into anybody who is on PCP. It's just like the most dangerous drug that you can imagine. So we've got people all over now taking a drug that is so similar, kind of like a slow fuse process, because these drugs will gradually increase serotonin levels, where LSD and PCP, the body reads them as if they are serotonin. So you get an immediate rush instead of a slow fuse. Over the process of time, you go psychotic. It's scary. They're very subtle.
They're insidious and they're subtle. And how did we get to this point? How is it that we comply? We walk into the doctor's office and we get a prescription for these drugs. If they're causing all this damage and you've seen it firsthand and you've seen the evidence, how is it that they continue to do this? Why isn't this considered a crime or some form of criminal behavior?
What is a crime? It's what we call capitalism here in America. It's marketing. They've got a great marketing campaign, and they've done one heck of a job. One heck of a job. We know, because we have internal memos that we've used in court, we know that the makers of Prozac, the first SSRI introduced here in the States, was approached by their own scientists, and they said, we've really got a problem here because it looks like our drug is causing suicide. You know what their response was? We cannot afford, the company cannot afford to lose the profits from Prozac. You have got to convince people that this suicide is coming from the underlying depression. They were told to tell people it was their underlying depression causing the suicide, not the drug. That sounds criminal to me. It's fraud, isn't it?
By the very essence of just examining it analytically and rationally, absolutely. It's a form of insanity. I don't really know how to describe it any other way. We were watching the film documentary, The Marketing of Madness, and that's how we learned of you, Dr. Tracy, and you had a lot of important things to say in that film, and I've since then gone to YouTube and seen you present some pretty heavy statements, one of which you refer to the fact that you've had some of this going on in your own family. So firsthand, you've seen this in your own life.
I don't know anyone that hasn't seen firsthand in their own family. Not at this point. I did a show out of Seattle probably about 3 years ago, and when I first started the radio show, the fellow who was doing the interview said, I'm really surprised that you say the use of these drugs is so high here because I don't know anybody who's on them. We got halfway through the show after he learned about the effects of the drug. And he said, oh my gosh, I think this is what my brother-in-law was on when he committed suicide last spring. So whether you realize it or not, you're probably absolutely surrounded by these side effects and don't know where they're coming from.
When we were off the air, we were talking about alternative medicine and products or supplements and dietary supplements that might be utilized as an alternative, and you said something that kind of stood out. You said that a lot of the retailers or distributors are not promoting the right substances.
Right.
Can you give us some more information to that effect?
Well, the problem is that the health industry looked at the hypothesis behind the antidepressants and decided that since the antidepressants were selling so well, they should have looked at the marketing campaign instead. Because they were selling so well, they thought, well, if we find a substance that has a similar process but does so naturally, then we've got a hit. We've got the same thing. And they do. They went after St. John's wort, SAMe, 5-HTP. And I get people who start on those and they get so bad that they end up on an antidepressant thinking that that's going to help. And, of course, that just makes it that much worse. Serotonin is not low in depression. That was the lie that they used to get these drugs on the market. According to research, now you got to look at the research that was done before it became financially advantageous for the drug companies to do research that said the opposite. If you look at the research that came out before the SSRIs, you find that serotonin is elevated in depression, not in depression. That's the problem. Trying to use anything that we can find, even naturally, that will increase serotonin. That makes the initial problem worse. In fact, there was a study that was done out of Australia a few years back. Dr. Murray Esler did it, and he did it on patients that were suffering from anxiety disorders, which these drugs are approved for. And they found that those suffering from anxiety had serotonin levels 8 times higher than normal. And of course, Dr. Esler said, oh my gosh, then why are we giving these patients these drugs that increase serotonin levels? And of course, I'm saying, what do you think I've been trying to tell you all these years? Read the research, and it's clear that you do not want to elevate serotonin levels.
So what approach would you recommend for somebody that is suffering with depression or anxiety and who has been told they need to go to a psychiatrist? What approach do they take?
Well, from what I have seen in patients over the last 20 years is that generally when they're suffering from these symptoms, that what it is that is underlying is generally a blood sugar disorder. They generally have low blood sugar. When the blood sugar drops, the adrenaline kicks in to normalize the sugar level. That is your fight or flight hormone. So you either panic or you become angry. And after you have an initial high, anybody knows what goes up comes down. So over time, you end up depressed from that happening over and over again. So if you look at the blood sugar, you generally can take care of the problem. We also have studies showing that exercise for half an hour, 3 times a week, is 8 times more effective than an antidepressant. We don't have studies showing how much cheaper it is than an antidepressant. Obviously, over time, it's a whole lot cheaper.
Well, thank you for confirming that, because that's exactly what we advocate, exactly what you said. I remember learning about the glucose tolerance test back in the day from Richard Passwater, and he wrote a lot of books. And by the way, did you meet Dr. Abram Hoffer? Did you have a chance to meet with him, or do you know of his work?
I am familiar with his work, and it's excellent, and it's wonderful. Yeah, if anybody does really have a problem that they want taken care of, I would suggest that you find an orthomolecular psychiatrist, someone who will use Abram Hoffer's work to help you get well.
Thank you for that. I actually worked with Dr. Hoffer. He passed away recently, but I used to live in Victoria, and that's where I met him. That led me into the field of orthomolecular psychiatry and medicine. And how wonderful is that? And of course, you're absolutely right, Dr. Tracy. The blood sugar is almost always an issue, as well as many other factors, toxemia, and you know, a history of imbalance and heavy metal toxicity, and on and on and on. But tell us, why isn't any of this of importance to conventional medicine? Does it really come down to strictly money? Doesn't anybody out there care at all in the medical profession or in the drug world? Doesn't anyone care about human beings at all?
Well, I've asked that same question over and over again, thinking there's got to be somebody that cares. I have been absolutely amazed at what I've found. I don't know if you saw the Atlantic Monthly article that came out in November 2010, just over a year ago, and they had gone in. The article is called Lies, Damn Lies in Medical Science, and they had gone to Greece to interview the top researcher in the world on medical research. And what he does is he looks at all of the research that's being done. He said at this point in time, 90%. Now, that knocked me up over. 90% of medical research is bogus, flawed, because it's influenced by the drug industry or other product industries. 90%, he said he doesn't know if medical research can even recover from this. They have gone in, they've bought up everything that they could buy. Trouble.
Absolutely, we're in
take
trouble.
Your car to a mechanic who's relying on 90% of the information is incorrect that he's using to work on your car. We're taking our bodies to these people.
So, okay, we have to stop, look, and listen. You know, that stuff that we learned in kindergarten, but it seems as if people don't apply that when it comes to their own lives, their own bodies. And again, this, I guess, tradition of automatically respecting the doctor and obeying him and enslaving
right.
yourself to the... So we have to stop that. You know, I'm a father with three kids and three grandkids, and they're changing. They have a different perspective. They've lost that traditional sense of respecting anyone just for the sake of it. They don't even read newspapers. They're using iPads. It's a whole different world. So to me, it's all about education. But isn't it true, Dr. Tracy, that we have to learn the right information? We have to study the right information. Isn't it true that when you go to university or college, that a lot of what you learn is just dogma, and it is altered and fixed to force people to regurgitate this information of which they end up believing and doing for the rest of their life?
That's exactly right. And if I had learned this going that direction, I mean, I wouldn't have learned it. I wouldn't have gone in and searched all the research that I could find to find what I found. I spent 4 years gathering all the research that I could possibly find to put it into one book, thinking, okay, these doctors have, at that point, it was 25% of their patient base were taking these drugs. And I thought, that's significant. If 25% of my patient base were on one particular type of medication, I would want to know all that I could find out on it. But I knew they didn't have 4 years that they could take to go in and gather all the research on that one group of drugs. So that was my whole idea. That's what I did. And I thought, if I can put it all in one book for them, they can sit down, gather it all together, and know what to watch for in their patients. They didn't realize they really didn't care. I remember going to one psychiatrist who had just had a patient that jumped off of his roof. While on these drugs, of course. And luckily, the patient only broke an arm. But I thought, surely this doctor is going to want to know about these drugs so that he doesn't have the next patient jump off the building and kill themselves. You know what his response was? Do you have a pamphlet? I really don't have time to read that. I just said, fine, I'll see you in court. Because I've been testifying in these cases for 20 years. And that's exactly where a doctor with that kind of an attitude is going to end up.
Now, you've testified for 20 years, and you've been involved in some very serious cases. Does one come to mind? Does one of those experiences come to mind where you're just skin crawled and you couldn't believe what was going on? And I'm talking about injustice. I'm talking about when you see doctors get off or there's no accountability at all. Is this going on in the court system?
In fact, initially, when Prozac was the first one on the market, Eli Lilly put the word out to doctors that they would defend them if they got sued. They would provide an attorney for them, believe it or not. I remember the first case I testified in was a suicide attempt in Northern California. This was the attorney's very first case, so he was scared. They were suing the doctor. Lilly had sent in someone to testify, a psychiatrist, to testify as an expert witness in this case. The attorney called me and he said, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? They've asked for an extension. They're bringing in an expert. I said, you know what? I don't care what that expert has to say. In the amount of time we have spent together and what I've taught you about this drug, you know far more than their expert knows. And sure enough, they brought the expert in. He's dressed in his Italian suit. The judge said afterwards, he called both attorneys up, and he just said, you know what? Dr. Tracy was far more credible than your Harvard-trained psychiatrist. And he said, obviously, this is what's going on here. And he ruled in our favor, of course. It's just amazing what goes on. People think that they're going for health care. This is a business, and it's a very big business. And your life is at stake, and you had better learn everything you possibly can learn about what it is that they're suggesting that you do.
Now, what about yourself, Dr. Tracy? Has your life been threatened? Obviously, you must be perceived by the enemy as a threat with your books and what you're doing. Or do they see you as non-significant because people don't believe you and don't care anyway? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm non-significant because they have gone from selling, what is it, $800 million in psychiatric drugs when Prozac was first introduced, but now I know that they're selling $40 billion a year in psychiatric drugs, so I haven't even made a dent.
So why do you do it? Why don't you just bend over like everyone else and just swallow it and cash in on it? What motivates you to stand up against the tyranny of corruption? Why do you do what you do?
Go to SSRI Stories and look at that long, long list of almost 5,000 cases. And double, triple, quadruple that, because we're only touching just the very tip of the iceberg with that list. Once you read just a few of those cases, you'll understand what motivates me. None of those deaths should have happened. Not one. All of us suffer when those people die. They could have added how much to our society. We'll never know, because all of us were robbed of their talents and their creativity and anything else that they might have offered to this world. It's wrong.
Is there a way for people to get involved with your work or the coalition? Is there a group? Is there a website? Is there a movement? Can you tell us about that?
We've had a newsletter for quite a while. I'm going to start that back up again. We do have a Facebook page, both for the International Coalition for Drug Awareness and also my own page at Ann Blake Tracy. So if anybody wants to jump on Facebook and find out what we're talking about, just try to keep all the information going out. All that's coming out now is just everything supporting everything that I said in the book long, long ago. Nothing's changed, and yet people still will read my book and say they've never heard these things. It's just sad. But certainly we need all the help that we can get. The lady that's been putting all of the stories up, posting them for us on that database, has just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. So I'm not going to have her help any longer. I'm not sure what to do. We haven't had enough help all along. We've got to stand up to this, because this is literally a holocaust. And when you look at the fact that these companies that put out Prozac number one, Prozac number two, Prozac number three. We call them, of course, Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil, Luvox, Effexor, Cerazone, Remeron. It goes on and on. They just give them new names, change the chemical composition just slightly so that they still have the same effect. There's so many of them. But, you know, as these drugs continue to march out there, these companies, after they put out the antidepressants that they know causes a manic psychosis. I mean, how many people do you run into now that are bipolar? Did you ever hear the word bipolar before? They have created, just between 96 and 2004, the number of diagnoses for bipolar went up 4,000%. They're turning the whole world manic, turning us all into maniacs. We're all being affected. And then these companies come back in, and what's the next drug they put on the market? It's an antipsychotic. And what does it cost? Double what the antidepressant did that caused the psychosis to begin with. That's why they make so much money doing this. They're creating the illnesses that they're treating. It just makes me sick to watch.
That last line is so powerful. They're creating the illnesses that they're treating. I mean, that just sums it up right there. That is unbelievable, what you just said.
Well, initially, psychiatrists would not prescribe Prozac because it caused mania so quickly. But I think they've all forgotten that or decided, oh, well, let it go ahead and cause it. It just gives us that many more patients to treat. 4,000%. Now keep in mind what these manias are. You got kleptomania, where they're embezzling from your business or stealing. You've got pyromania, where they're burning places down. You've got dipsomania, which probably most people have never heard of, but it's an overwhelming craving for alcohol. And so many people will become alcoholic on these medications. It's because they're experiencing that type of mania. And then you've got nymphomania, where we have all these female school teachers seducing male students. And nobody puts it together. But you show me even one of those cases where the female teacher was not on an antidepressant, because I haven't found one yet.
And so what is your website, Dr. Tracy?
The website is drugawareness.org.
And can we find your book there? Where can we get a copy of your book? Can we order that online?
Yeah, the book is available through drugawareness.org. You can find it there. And I also have a CD that tells you how to come off of these drugs safely. That is so important. There can never be an abrupt change in dose. When there's an abrupt change in dose of an antidepressant, you can produce that manic psychosis, suicide, or hostility, according to FDA warnings. So you never want to abruptly change the dose at all. Get the CD. You can download it. I've dropped the price to $2.95 to download it. The world needs it. Trust me, your neighbor may need it, because if your neighbor goes manic on these drugs, you're going to want to move halfway around the world. Take care of everybody around you. Find out what they're on. If there's ever been a time where we need to be our brother's keeper, this is it. Because I've got so many cases where a neighbor has had this happen, even a decorated police officer. He ran next door to two different homes and killed everybody inside. You'd better know what everyone around you is on.
Okay, everyone out there, my special guest has been Dr. Ann Blake Tracy. The website, drugawareness.org. The book, Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora, Our Serotonin Nightmare. Get a copy. Download this CD. Get to the site. Get informed. Dr. Tracy, thank you so much for your courage, for your diligence, for the work, for the integrity of your spirit, and for everything that you're doing and continue to do. We really want to acknowledge this and recognize that it takes a woman like yourself of great power and magnitude, and we just want to acknowledge that.
Thank you. Maybe we can do another one and get into the sleep disorder that these drugs cause that produce the violence. They're just acting out in nightmares. All they're doing is called a REM sleep behavior disorder. And 86% of the patients being diagnosed with that disorder are taking an antidepressant. They're not even conscious. They don't know what they're doing. It's sad.
Dr. Tracy, we thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Holly Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHolly.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.